Hi everyone, welcome back to the Let God podcast. I'm back again. We're back again. Oh, it's me, Wanipa.
Me, Mary Hannah.
Hi, I'm Iva.
And this week we are talking about a topic that, woo, it gets me going, let me not lie. We are talking about prosperity gospel, mm-hmm. money, finance, mm-hmm. all that good stuff, because we have heard some things and we need to talk about it. But before we start, let's open with a word of prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this time that we're recording and everybody's listening. We thank you for being here in our conversation, and we ask that you would lead us as we talk about money and prosperity gospels and wealth and just your heart for humanity when it comes to financial resource and poverty. Lord, we ask that you would lead the things that we say, Holy Spirit, and help us to just really reflect your heart and the truth of scripture in our conversation, and help all of our eyes, even as we discuss and as our listeners listen into this conversation, just to be open to you and to the truth of who you are and the plans you have for us as your children, Father, about money. And we thank you for being here with us. In your name I've prayed. Amen.
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 So guys, before we actually launch in, does anyone have like a definition? Because people might not know what prosperity gospel necessarily is, especially if they're not Christians or haven't grown up in church or whatever. So does anyone just want to give a brief summary of what we're talking about?
I would say it's the teaching that if you give your life to Christ, if you become a Christian, then you can't be sick, you can't be poor, and all of that.
That was a good summary. So with that in mind, I want to ask you guys this. Do you think that you can be Christian and a millionaire / billionaire?
I'm of the opinion that no. I haven't done a lot of reading or research into the millionaire clause, but billionaire, absolutely not. I think, can you be Christian? I think it's maybe the semantics of the question should not maybe be like, can we or should we be billionaires and Christian, know? When we look at the billionaires of our world, whether it's the, I don't want to say people's names because, I am trying to stop our potential bag or nothing, but let me just, but people who are into fast fashion, the providers who offer next day delivery, that sort of thing, in all sort of regards, they're often billionaires, and hearing stories or just knowing the realities of how their clothes items are manufactured, how they cheat or mistreat their employees is shocking and revolting at the least. So I think if we have any true knowledge of what Christ's love is and what it means to really love our neighbor, like you can't treat people and be that exploitative. Right. And if you were on TikTok or saw all those little crazy rice experiments, like each grain of rice being 100,000, and when you see those things, like how someone has put an image to how much wealth some people have, it's mind-blowing. So I say no, in my opinion.
I agree. And in addition to the whole ethics of things, I think God calls us to help the poor and like the widows and those who are in help. And then I think if you have enough wealth to try and do that, like the richer people get, the richer they want to become. So like it's a toss up whether you want to be charitable or you want to be
rich
on part of the richest people.
That's actually crazy. Yeah, I definitely agree. And just that the fact that the richest people in the world like are clearly, whichever way you want to chop it up, and I know this is going to hurt some people because these are your secure the bag idols, these are your billionaire goals, they're exploitative, whichever way you chop it up. And in my opinion, exploitation has no place in the gospel. And that's just that on that. And like, if we even look at scripture, we can see like this idea of excessive hoarding of wealth and even loving money is just criticized so frequently, which is why I think it's disturbing how much prosperity gospel has like been allowed to just proliferate. Do you know what I mean? Because there's so many clear, obvious warnings in the Bible. You know, don't store your treasures up in earth, store them in heaven. You know what I mean? The love of money is the root of all... The love of money is the root of all evil. It's easier for a camel to enter the eye of the needle than for a rich man to get into heaven.
Wow.
And even just a note on that verse... I think it's also, it says something to do with the state of mind of when you have money, because I think a lot of people, like, you even see these LinkedIn warriors, like, securing the bag is, like, your whole life. Mary Hannah's face.
Your personality.
Your whole personality. It's all you care about. But, like, apparently, like, the eye of the needle was, like, a gate in Israel. And, like, to get through it, the camel had to kneel down. And it's all about, like, humbling yourself. And if you're so brazen and emboldened by money and all you want to do is show off and, like, you know, just be that guy who people, you know, 500,000 plus connections on LinkedIn, you're not humbling yourself. You know what I mean? It's all about the me show, which is not how it should be.
And I think just a word on that. I think sometimes, like, we are Christians because we're meant to model ourselves after Christ. And deep the fact that God was... or Jesus is, was 100% man, 100% God, which is sort of like impossible in terms of like mathematical concepts, but definitely possible in terms of the supernatural. So everything that has ever been and whatever it will be, Jesus had the capacity to do and to create. Jesus had eternal wisdom. If he wanted to be Pilate or the next Roman emperor, please don't crucify me if my history is wrong. He could have done that. That same iPads and iPhone that we are using, he had the knowledge of how to create that at the very moment of when he was walking the earth. And so when we think of all the potential, because that's what I guess a lot of prosperity gospel is sort of built off of, like the potential to do so much or amass so much wealth. Christ had all the potential in the world to literally be everything. And he still chose to pursue his purpose. So when we're talking about prosperity gospel, the issue is we're putting our sights on things that really don't amount to anything, as you have illuminated, Winipa, through scripture. But then also we're not even pursuing purpose. We're just pursuing what we can, what is tangible, that which we can see. And that's exactly the opposite of what our Savior did. He died on a rugged cross, like a common thief, like a common thief, knowing that he could do amazing, incredible, mind-blowing things. And so with prosperity gospels, we've just taken our eyes off of literally Christ, and that's just a big issue.
Like, Jesus was literally born in a manger. Do you know how deep that is, to be born where animals sleep? No, because you're not even understanding. Imagine giving birth in an animal pen. Gosh.
No,
it's
insane.
That's the form that Jesus, the literal Son of God, chose to take. But for some reason, there's people in the church who think that having a massive amount of wealth is not only necessary, but a signifier of how close you are to God. Like, it's not adding up. The math is not mapping at all. In the slightest.
You kind of split the church. And like we said last week, or Mary Hannah said, is disunity is one of the biggest things that the enemy uses. So you kind of split the church into the people that have and the have nots. And the people who have nots will be like, am I not praying enough, fasting enough? Am I not putting enough tithe? Like, why does God love them more than me? And that is a very dangerous thing to start planting in the minds of people.
That's even like such a good point, because like I was having a Bible study the other week, and we were talking about Malachi 3:7-12, and we're just discussing how when God is saying that he'll bless those who give tithe, it's like a plural you, like the blessing is for the whole nation, for the whole community. And like giving to God in order to receive blessing is not to keep a blessing for yourself. You know what I mean? It's about, you know what, God has blessed me with this, so let me bless others. So if you're creating a division in church whereby it's like the haves and the have nots, it's like automatically you're not distributing that blessing properly. It's like, if I have bread and my brother or my sister is struggling, let me even half my bread to give them something. You know what I mean? The blessing that falls on your life shouldn't be so clear, like, this is me, I have this, God loves me. The reason that we see so much inequality in the world is because people, you know, receive blessings. And this is an important point to add. Like Mary Hannah said, last week that the rain falls on the righteous and the wicked. So just because you have blessings don't mean that God is, you know, favoring you, by the way. The reason we have so much inequality is because when people are blessed with wealth and riches and stuff, they just keep it to themselves and they just go, well, that's me. I'm good over here. Lucky for me, you know, and that's not how God intended it to be.
I think another thing about prosperity gospel, we're not trying to say that if you have nice things, baby, like you going to hell. Trust me, I want me a Birkin too. You think I want me a Birkin? I'm kidding, y'all. Okay, I'm semi-kidding, but I'm not. But like, we all want nice things. We all want nice things. But as like topical, just like this is sort of on topic outside of the gospel, but like the whole idea of billionaire, millionaire culture, capitalism, and like luxury lifestyles and what that means and the implications that has or that will have for our generation. It's just a sort of thing where it's like, it's not about having nice things. It's about greed. It's about avarice. Mm-hmm. It's about, I have a nice thing. Okay, so now what? And the problem is we have, a lot of us, I believe, have nice things, not because we genuinely like them, but because we feel a need to impress or validate ourselves to others. And that also infiltrates into the church and also perpetuates to prosperity gospel, perpetuates it within prosperity gospels, because it's no longer just I have a nice thing for me to enjoy. It's I have a nice thing so that other people can like be like, I want to be like you, but they shouldn't want to be like you. They should want to be like Jesus. So oh, then what?
A word. A word. Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, if we are completely honest with ourselves, like the way the world is now, like I feel like for so many people, the bottom line of success is like wealth and the ability to yield it. And like, ultimately, like you're either a slave to the value of the world or you reject that and you become a complete like slave to the values of the kingdom, essentially, is how I see it. Because like, if you're putting all your value in wealth and like hoarding things on the earth, like what's your end goal? Like once you've got that money, you're good. You don't care about anything or anyone else. You know what I mean? And like these things, like so many people see it as like, oh, it's an evidence of God's blessing or whatever. It could actually be the thing that's blocking you from receiving the true blessing, because the blessing is a relationship with God. You know, he is the blessing itself. So if your eyes are always focused on, oh, how can I obtain this? How can I obtain this? Like money becomes an idol in your life and you're no longer receiving the full benefits of like intimacy with the Holy Spirit. So you just got to be careful, really.
Yeah. I know like lots of people, or people more receptive, so to say, to the gospel when there's like wealth tied to it. So if you listen to like some of the prosperity teachers, is like, come to Christ and he'll give you healing, come to Christ and he'll give you wealth. And I read 2 Timothy 4:3 and it says, the time will come when people will not listen to the true teaching, but people will find more and more teachers who please them. They will find teachers who say things that they want to hear. And another translation says, people that tickle your ears.
Many ears are being tickled today, ladies and gentlemen.
No, period.
And I think when you restrict God in that way, it's kind of resembling like treating God as a genie.
And God is not a genie. We said it last week. God is not a genie.
He is not. Oh, I 100% agree with that.
How do you think it looks to like people who aren't in the church? Like, is it a way to evangelize, as some people say it would be?
I would disagree, because Christ is the way, the truth, and the light.
Period.
And that is not true. It is not true that as soon, like simply, like it's not true that as soon as you follow Christ, abundance, wealth, everything will be added unto you. It's not true that Christians don't struggle. It's not true that there aren't Christians who are poor. In fact, there are many Christians who are poor all over the world, which is what is also crazy to me, because I hear people preaching prosperity gospel. Meanwhile, they know they have cousins, aunties, grandmas back in Africa struggling, who pray like prayer warriors. They're up at 4 a.m. anointing with oil.
You go to the mountain.
Wow. Even to the mountain.
Even in the wilderness. Honestly.
Honestly. And you're here saying with your chest, okay, so you're saying that God doesn't love your grandma. Is that what it is?
Even shocking scenes. Deep that.
Shocking scenes. Just deep that. So, like, in short, no, I don't think showing off wealth is a way to evangelize. And if anything, I think it's very dangerous because once people get into the church, okay, your bills might still be stacking up, things aren't going well for you. You've told people that, you know, God blesses the people he loves. And when those people are struggling financially, they just think, God doesn't love me, there's nothing for me here. Mm-hmm. And that's it, they're out the door. It might be a way to drum up your numbers for a couple of weeks. Maybe add some tithes to your church collection.
Add some offerings.
A couple extra offerings in the offering pot. But beyond that, you know, what are you evangelizing for? Are you doing it to drum up numbers? Let me not make any accusations. I'm just asking a question. Or are you doing it because you genuinely have a heart for people and want them to have a relationship with Christ? Because if it's the latter, then I don't think you would be attracting people to your church with lubes.
No, period. That's even another thing, like, just to answer Ayanfa's question, the scripture that just come to mind is Matthew 7:13-14. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And I don't mean to say that God wants us to struggle and suffer. I know that's another topical discussion, like God's relationship, like how we understand God's omnibenevolence with the fact that there's suffering in the world, and we don't have all the answers to that. That's something that we think about and discuss a lot. But I think it's very interesting that Jesus delineates, or the Gospels delineate, the fact that being a Christian is not going to be easy, and you finna face some hard times. So I don't even know where we pluck this whole idea of God. Like, God is going to take care of his children. God does not want us to be in lack, because how could the person who has, or the being that owns everything, want his children to be in lack? But that does not mean that we're gonna all be living like in Lisa in excess. And that, like, that's just the reality. So, like, Jesus and his boys, they were rolling like with barely no food. Like, deep the fact that when they were feeding the 5,000, they stole a kid's lunch. They stole a little boy's lunch.
They went up to his lunch bucket, they said, give me that, little boy.
12 big men.
They took his fish, man.
12 big men, as in actual men. Okay, maybe the Bible says the context that, according to historians, they were like teenagers. Regardless, imagine your brother, your age mate's going to steal lunch from some year seven. Will you not say, are you mad? Is there something wrong with you? And they stole this boy's lunch. And, like, they didn't have money like that. And, like, as I said, the Gospels make it clear that, like, it is so difficult to enter into the gates of heaven being rich. And we're not also trying to make this into a, like, eternity is always the goal, because we should enjoy our relationship with Christ. Like, right now, as the girls have said, right now is a blessing. But the very fact that, as the girls have said, that we have equated God's blessing or God's presence and his love and a relationship with him to monetary or tangible things is outrageous. And as Wanipa said, it's disrespectful also to the people, not just within the continent of Africa, all over the world, even in our own back gardens, who are homeless. The homeless people who you donate to will be the first person to say, God bless you. How many times you hear God bless you from even your youth leader? The homeless people will be the first people to talk about some God bless you. So if they have a concept of God's blessing that is so even rudimentary, to put it that way, and we're equating God's blessing to big mansion and Bentley. Drop me out.
And even, okay, let me just drag people real quick. Let me just do a little bit of dragging, because there's some people who, you know, most days of the year, I don't hear nothing coming from your mouth about God. But when you've secured a bag, when the deal has come through, when the money has been added, when the blessings are raining down, it's, wow, God is so good. Huh? God is so good to you now. You only want to listen to God when it's money in your pocket. Oh, they're not hearing me.
They're not hearing you. They're not hearing you. They're not.
They're not.
They're not hearing it one bit.
God is good. All the time. All the time? Or just when you up?
Wow. I think she needs to reload that. I personally think she needs to reload that just for some of y'all to hear it. Just for me to hear it one more time.
No, just because I don't think people heard me. I don't think people heard me. And I hope that using their fingers to rewind and listen to me again. That's the thing, because like I think it's so dangerous to just see God like for his hand. I saw this quote and it was like, do you love the heart of God or the hand of God? And I said, well.
It's a deep one. It's a deep one. No, really, it's a deep one. It is very deep.
It's very deep. It's very deep.
I think there's also a thing of making God like a supporting character in your life story.
Wow.
So like I have my whole life planned. I want to get this job, and God's just going to hop in.
Oh.
Sprinkle a few blessings on me, I get everything I want.
Preach, preacher.
No, period.
And then he just says a few lines here and there.
Oh, the like magic a sign man. Oh, like a sign man. He said, Jesus is your hype man.
Ghetto scenes.
Yeah. Imagine that. Imagine you've planned your life out until you're how old? And what, you think God is just going to step in and... Because, guys, actually deep it. What if that's just not God's will for your life? Then what will you do?
Then what will you do?
You'll be like Job's wife. You'll just be like, curse God and die. Okay.
It's actually very true, because I think it was Pastor Mike who said it, or I watched somebody's sermon. They were like, we see people do inspiring things every day. I'm 24. I just bought a house. Just paid off my car, just did something to the other. And I'm so happy for people who can do that. I pray that I'm in a position to bless other people and be generous and not have a mortgage and all these amazing things that people are able to financially accomplish. But in the event that I do not, does God love me any less? No. Half the time we have just plucked this. I'll give an example, y'all. So I finna want to be a lawyer. I'm not sure in what capacity, right? And in the beginning of the year, I saw people like our gorgeous friend Winipa here, different people who were securing their bag, who were just getting their lives all together. And I was like, I want that to be me. Like, other people can finna get a job in first year. I want to get a job in first year. So I wrote it in my 2020 goals. I was like, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get a training contract at the end of first year. I have not. The end of year has come. There is no... There's no training contract. So does that mean God doesn't love me? I was praying. I dedicated my 2020 goals to the Lord. I wrote about, I want to do this and experience this, and I want to grow spiritually here and XYZ, but I did not receive that. And in retrospect, that's because I looked at other people's lives and thought that their blessing was something that I automatically have to have because they are also believers. But that's not how God works. So now that's, I'm out here being like sad for no reason. Did God tell me, you're going to get a training contract at the end of the year, so you're going to write that down. I came up with that with my own mind. Now I feel I'm out here looking stupid, acting stupid, feeling stupid.
You know what it is? Because even the same things that can bless one person can really bring destruction in someone else's
period.
Life. Because it's like, we all see like money, we just conceptualize it as this inherently good thing, as if we can't see how money has scattered some people's lives, brought some people to ruin. Yeah, I mean, so it's a really cliche saying, but really be careful what you wish for, because one time God's just going to be like, oh, okay. And then what?
On the topic of billionaire and millionaire culture, James chapter 5 verses 1-6 gives like a very relevant reading of that sort of like whole topic. And essentially says that you men here who are collating and amassing huge amounts of wealth at other people's expense, like, God can see you and your time is coming. Like, I'm not even trying to be, like, morbid or scary, but, like, that's essentially what the scripture says. And just to read a couple of verses, it says right at the end, you have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. And I think IMFA, or somebody mentioned either just previously or before we started recording, that, you know, like the heart of Christ can never be the exploitation or the pain of another to benefit ourselves. Like that, that's exactly the opposite of what Christ is about. It's about loving your neighbor. So, and as the scriptures say, I think we've mentioned it in one of our podcast episodes, if you can't love the people that you can see, how can you even fix your mouth to say that you love the Lord?
Word. Yeah, even just like, this is the thing as well. Like, I feel like we focus so much on the verses, which is like, God can do this for me. God can do this for me, completely ignoring the fact that this passage is called Warning to Rich Oppressors. And it starts by saying, now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. And I'm not even paraphrasing.
Oh no.
So if you want to go to church next week and your main focus is how to, you know, boost up your 7 income streams. Just weep and wail. The Lord says.
I think people will come up with all sorts of foolish doctrines in these quote unquote end days. So even if you got one scripture in the back of your pocket that just keeps you grounded, like the love of money is the root of all evil, 1 Timothy 6:10, I think it is. Even if that's the only thing you have, then you keep it and you hold on to it. Then like, because people will come up with all sorts of things to condemn you and make you feel like you are less than, because you do not drive a specific car or have a specific house, or you don't wear red bottoms and your bag is from Primark and not Birkin. Who cares, baby? Jesus loves you. Like,
that's really it. Like, your inherent value doesn't come from wealth. It doesn't come from money. It doesn't come from what you wear. It really just comes from the fact that Jesus chose you.
Yeah.
Like, He chose you. And like, what always gets me very emotional is just like, I think that Mary Hannah actually said this to me one time early on in my sort of faith rejuvenation. She was like, if Christ was on the cross and he had only seen you, no one else, he still would have died for you.
Mm-hmm.
And just deep that, like, that's to me more precious than any Birkin, than 10 Birkins, than numerous Birkins, you know what I mean? So, speaking of which, everyone should go listen to Nothing Even Matters by Marvin Sapp. He really did his thing on that song, and it just sums it up. He really remixed the Lauryn Hill, and I really appreciate him for doing that, because he really did what he had to do.
He did.
John Piper said a quote that really stuck out to me. It says, God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him.
Wow.
And as Wanapa said before, like, the blessing is God. So are we satisfied in him? Because what else do we need?
Like, what else do you need? 8 beds.
How many will you be sleeping in? There's even 7 days of a week, so you can't even rotate.
Honestly, it reminds me of that song by The Walls Group. I'm not gonna sing, because I, out of the three of us, I wasn't blessed with the voice, but one of my sisters can take it away. If I never get that house, that car.
Come on, church.
Or be, you know it, a superstar.
No, that song, The Walls Group really snapped, because the rest of the lyrics say, and if my dreams never come true, would I be satisfied with you?
Oh, they didn't hear that question. Let me just repeat it. Reloaded. If my dreams never come true, will I be satisfied with you? Ask yourself.
We asking ourselves that question every day, because like, even we're talking about prosperity gospel, but we think about the things that we envision for ourselves. Like last week, we touched a little bit on relationships and who you speak to and how we see the world. Some of us who out here, I'm speaking directly to Christian Twitter, Christian people involved in the Christian social media space. We have poured our lives into relationships and all these great things, which is like a blessing. Of course, we believe God community is the biggest blessing. But if some of us never got married, Would we be satisfied? I wish you could see the girl's face. I fixed it. She said I rebuke it. No foul.
Her face collapsing.
No, because really deep that.
She said, I rebuke it in the mighty name
of Jesus. No, but deep it, deep it. Like, I don't speak that over anybody's life.
It's true. It's true.
That's the thing. Like, I wouldn't speak it over anyone's life, including my own Lord, if you're listening. Including my own. But at the same time, look at Paul.
Oh. Paul even said everyone should be like him.
Even said, I wish that you could be like me, single.
But if you have to, he said, if you can't control them hands, that's exactly what he said.
That's what he really said. No, but deep it, that really could be God's will for your life. Mm. Obviously, God forbid, like, I'm not speaking this over anyone. I'm speaking hypothetically. I'm just saying, will you be satisfied?
And it's a question we got to answer every day, I think. There's another passage. Sorry, y'all. We're going back to scripture, but it's in the New Testament. I think it might be 1 Corinthians. And it says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And when you actually deep that, these people were saying that to live, their very reason for existing is Christ. And to die for him would be the biggest reward. Mm. Like, so if Christ is not the focus, the central, the need. And we are not talking like we got to figure it out. Like, honey, if you open our group chats, we out here like, girl, I'm struggling. Baby, I'm struggling.
Trust me. Every day MCM this. Every day Birkin bag that.
No.
We're not speaking as people who have figured this out. We're just saying everyone, including ourselves, needed to hear this word, you know?
Thank you guys for listening. I hope that that you've learned something, and we want to keep the discussion going, so make sure that you add some comments, tweet us on Twitter, and also the Google form is there for any comments or any suggestions as well. We've also updated our Spotify playlist, so you can listen to our new music. I know I found some new music this week from listening to the songs the girls put on. What else? Keep updated with us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We said we were going to do a live when we got to 200 followers. Let me check the count. We on 175. It was 176, but someone just unfollowed us. We see you. Anyways, when we get 25 more loyal followers, we're going to do an Instagram live. So,
you know.
And
we may or may not have a surprise coming for y'all. A little collaboration with some of your faves. But that'll be released soon. TBC. TBC.
Just wait. Oh, no, I'm excited, though. I am very excited.
Yeah.
And thank you all for the love that you've shown us so far, because we've had some really, really nice messages over the past week. So
yeah. Thank you so much, guys. Bye. Bye. Stay blessed.
God bless.
Love you.